Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
See, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said, say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. So all you got to have is a little bit. You say, well, I'm just not like you. People will say to me, I don't have faith, or I don't have great faith. I'm just not like you. I just don't believe that God's going to move. I don't have a lot of faith. Doesn't matter. You just got to have a little bit.
A little faith can go a long way if we're willing to call out to God, if we're willing to trust Him. When we're willing to keep our eyes on Jesus and not on our circumstances, our faith can have a profound effect on those around us. Be reminded of God's promises today that a little faith can move mountains, and watch and see what God does. Here's more from last time out of our study in Mark 2, verses 1 through 12, with Robert Furrow.
The concept of breaking through in prayer, that you pray until you get an answer. It might not be the answer you want, but you get an answer. Have you broken through? And if you haven't broken through, are you really going to quit? Are your kids worth more than just poking around the front door and the side door and saying, I can't get in? I guess I'll give up. Let's go ahead and carry him back to the place that he begs from. See, what this man is physically paralyzed are children that aren't walking with Christ spiritually. They are paralyzed. They are not in tune with the spiritual world around them. They can't see them. The Bible tells us that our prayers make a difference in their lives. Have you broken through? Have you prayed and called out to God until God moves for the sake of your children? Now, I think that that's true with any one of us. I think that we could call out for whoever we want to call out to, and that we can bring them before God and that God will move. But I think there's a power that comes with the position that you have as a dad, as a parent for your children. To say, Lord, I'm going to call out to you. I want to see you break through and make a difference. Now, finally, they lower this man to Jesus. We're going to come back to Jesus forgiving his sins in a moment. But I want you to look at this next statement here. Verse 5, so when Jesus saw their faith. Who's the there? It's they, right? The they we learned earlier that carried the paralytic man to him. And so Jesus saw their faith, and he forgave the man that came of his sins. Read it again. Verse 5. Then Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Their faith made a difference in his life. Now you understand, I'm not saying that this man didn't have to believe, right? I've already made a clear statement. Every person has to believe for themselves. If you've never come to that place, if you say, well, my mom and dad are Christian, they brought me up Christian, certainly I'm going to heaven, you're going to be surprised when you die and find yourself standing before God. You have to have that personal relationship with them. But I want you to notice how their faith affected this man. They carried him to Christ, they broke through, and their faith made a difference. Do you believe that God can touch your kids? Do you believe that God can save them? Do you believe that God could turn them into an on-fire believer for the Lord? Do you believe that God touches and forgives, and that could happen to your kids, or that could happen to the people around you who don't know Christ, whom you love and you care about? Your faith. And this is why the faith healers, okay, these are the guys, the television evangelists, or the guys that travel and do their faith rallies who say, if you're not healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. I like to go to this verse and say, then why don't you spot me some? Because here, their faith gets this guy's sins forgiven and him healed because of their faith. Our faith is so powerful that it not only affects us, it affects the people that are around us. We could call it the umbrella effect, umbrella Ella, if you want to. It's the umbrella effect of our walk with Christ. We have a relationship with Jesus, and because we have faith, They are influenced by our faith. Am I saying that you can save them? No. Am I saying your faith's going to save them? No. But you can bring them right up to the brink. You can bring them right up to that relationship with God by your faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is simply trusting God. Faith is believing Him. Faith is calling out upon Him. Those in Nazareth that couldn't see many great miracles done, the reason it didn't happen is because they didn't go to Him. They simply would not call out to Him. When you have a lack of faith, when you don't believe that God answers prayer, then you just don't pray. See, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said, say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. So all you got to have is a little bit. You say, well, I'm just not like you. People will say to me, I don't have faith, or I don't have great faith. I'm just not like you. I just don't believe that God's going to move. I don't have a lot of faith. Doesn't matter. You just got to have a little bit. You just got to say, Lord, I do believe you. I believe you can save my child. I believe you can set him free. I believe you can change him. God's in the business of changing lives. You say, well, I prayed for 5 years, but it hadn't happened. But have you broken through? Or have you just poked around the front door? So these guys carried him to Jesus. They broke through and they had faith, and that faith made a difference in this man's life. Now, let's go back to these guys. They lowered Jesus. They lowered this guy to Jesus. And when Jesus sees their faith, he says to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, I wonder what these guys thought. I'm sure they were watching intently. They must have been holding the ropes that they had lowered this man down to Jesus. And again, it's a pretty funny scene finally when this bed finally lowers and everybody's watching it. And here's this guy in it. And so Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. And I see the guy up on the roof saying, no, he's paralyzed. I didn't bring him for you to forgive his sins. I brought him because he's paralyzed. And Jesus forgives him of his sins. Why? Because the greatest need that you have is for your sins to be forgiven. You may not realize that. The greatest need a paralyzed man has is for his sins to be forgiven. Sin is far more devastating than we can ever possibly imagine. Sin is destructive. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. The wages of all sin are death. And you'll run into Christians from time to time who will say, well, you know, sin's not all that bad. Sin's, you know, I mean, I was forgiven, so I can go ahead and do what I'm doing. The Bible says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. Sin is destructive and sin is deceptive. And for those of you that think that sin is not that bad, I want you to look at the price that it cost to deal with sin. And that was the cross. If sin wasn't that bad, if sin was not any big deal, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Why was he nailed to it and hung between heaven and earth after being beaten to literally within an inch of his life if sin was no big deal? Now he compares that. It goes on here in verse 5 and it says, and when Jesus saw their faith, then let's go to verse 6, and some of the scribes who were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And they were right, by the way. It is God who can forgive sins. It is only God who can remove them. And Jesus is God in the flesh. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned this within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you? Or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Well, which one's easier to say? Let's answer that. First of all, as far as just saying them, they're both the same, right? I could say to you, your sins are forgiven. Arise, take up your bed and walk. For as far as me saying them, doesn't mean anything. Now, as far as that action taking place, one of them is more difficult than the other one. Which one is easier to say? Certainly it would be take up to the paralytic, take up your bed and walk. Because God could heal at a moment. He didn't have to go to the cross to heal. He could heal at a moment, but he couldn't forgive sins unless he became a sacrifice, unless he bled, and died. So which was easier to say? Even for him, it's easier to say, pick up your bed and walk, than it is for him to say, your sins are forgiven you. He would have to go to the cross in order to back up what he was saying to him when he said, your sins are forgiven you. But they could see if he healed him, they could see it. But you can't see sins being forgiven. And the person here today and you don't walk with Christ, or you haven't been walking with him, or you're not serious about following him, and your sins haven't been forgiven. Right next to you sits a person whose sins have been forgiven, and I can't tell the difference. I can't see a spiritual aura around you and darkness around them. I can't look in your eyes and see the Holy Ghost twinkle taking place. Oh yeah, your sins have been forgiven. Years ago, we had first started the church, a guy came up the steps after service and he looked at me in the eyes until it was uncomfortable. I'm looking at him like, hi, and he just kind of walked up and stared at me. Until I was like, all right, it's a little weird. And he goes, oh, okay, all right. I go, okay, I'll bite. What's okay, all right? Well, I was looking to see if you were, God's given me a gift and I can see in the eyes of people whether or not they become Christians. To which I said, really? Well, I gotta go. I got, you know, a lot of things to do. I gotta get out of here. There is no gift that you can look somebody in the eye and tell whether or not they're Christians. That'd be a good person to have around, though. It's Father's Day. It'd be good to have that person around when someone wants to date your daughter, wouldn't it? Come here. Take a look. Do you really walk with the Lord or not? Because if not, we'll take him out back and take care of things. Be a good person to have around in a lot of different ways, but it doesn't happen. You can't see it. And so Jesus forgives him of his sins, but no one can see that his sins have been forgiven. And so he says, verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up that bed and went in the presence of them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Couple of things. Number one, the moment finally came when those guys' faith, carrying him in, breaking through, faith for him, it finally became a reality. The day can finally come where your child says, I've made a commitment to Christ. I'm following him. It's never too late. God can do the miraculous. God can heal. God can forgive sins. And he can forgive the sins of those that you thought are too far gone and will never, ever come to him. It's never too late. Secondly, he does this physical healing so that they would know that the spiritual healing has been done. But still, the more life-changing and the more important is the spiritual. More important than anything that you're going through. If I handed you a piece of paper when you came into this place tonight and I asked you to write down your greatest need, I don't know that anybody would have written down the need to forgive sins unless you figured that's the text I was going to go over. The greatest need in all of our lives is the forgiveness of sin. No wonder Jesus said when the disciples were rejoicing over the demons being subject to him, Jesus said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That is the greatest need of all of mankind. That's why as a church, we cannot get distracted away from that. That is our call. We bring the gospel. We see people come to him. Our desire is to bring people to him. Now, in closing, once again, in the way of encouragement, I want to say, not only to the dads, but to everyone here, if you've stopped, if you haven't broken through and you just quit, it's time to get back up again. It's time to tear the roof off. It's time to say, God, I'm going to go after this thing until I see whoever it is, my children, my co-workers, the people that I love, come to you, calling out to God for their sake. Eric Little, I guess it was 1920s or so, Eric Little was an Olympiad who ran in the 100 meter. His best race was the 100 meter race. But it was on Sunday. The schedule had come out years before, but it was on Sunday. As a Christian, he believed that he wasn't supposed to race on Sundays. Someone gave a scripture to Eric Little. This isn't Eric Little saying, this is my life scripture. Somebody said, this is the scripture for Eric Little, where God says in Deuteronomy, anyone who honors me, I will honor him. I think that's a powerful verse, by the way. I find myself when I read that passage saying, that's in 1 Samuel, by the way, but I find myself saying, Lord, how can I honor you? You'll honor me if I honor you. I want to honor you. Eric Little went and prepared and ran the 400-meter race instead, and he won it. In fact, he broke all records, and he wasn't supposed to win it because it wasn't his strongest race, but he won it. But in another race, in the middle of the race, it was a longer race, he fell down right in the middle of the race. He just tripped and fell over and fell down in the middle of the race and got back up again. Do you guys see Chariots of Fire? They've got that scene in there, right? And everything goes into slow motion. Boom, he trips. Boom. He falls down and everybody's running away. And you're going, get up, get up, get up. And so he finally gets up and he gets back into the race. And it's a true story. He wins the race. He falls on the side and he gets up and he gets back in the race and he wins it. There was, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly which Olympics it was. But when I was younger, there was the Olympics where you had the gal who was running. And she was running against someone who kicked her foot and she fell onto the infield grass. And you remember her husband coming over and picking her up. Time magazine had a picture of the year in there of him carrying her while she's bawling because her hopes and dreams of winning the Olympics was ruined as she was carried off. We can be like her. We can fall on the infield grass and we can start to bawl, or we can get back up and we can get back in it again. It's never too late. Maybe we've said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't think you're going to do anything. Maybe we've lost faith for our children or for our family and for those whom we love. May God once again encourage you. It takes a mustard seed of faith, a small amount of faith, and you can move mountains. And who knows what God would do? May God stir you up so that you will carry them to Christ. Break through, have faith that God's going to move in their lives. And I believe that we'll see many who have their sins forgiven and their lives will be greatly transformed because of that faith in Jesus Christ. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for this text. It is powerful in a couple of different ways. First of all, it's powerful for us when we think about our children, when we think about our homes. When we think about our parents or who don't know you, or others around us whom we love who don't know you. Lord, we want to be committed to breaking through, to seeking you for them until we see you move in their lives. We realize that they have to make that decision for faith. We realize that they have to believe in you. Nevertheless, we want to see you move. We pray that you would give us a fervency, that we would tear off a roof if we need to for their sake, and pray until we see you move. And we lift up our kids who are walking as prodigals now. Lord, bring them back. Draw them to you. You have said, raise them up in the ways of the Lord, and when they are old, they will not depart. We pray that you would bring back those that have known you and walked away. And for those that have never known you, we pray that you would touch them, move in their lives, stir up their parents today. Who cares more about their children than the parents? Stir them up to be committed, to persevere in prayer until we see you move in the lives of our kids. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. We're almost done. We'll dismiss you shortly. But I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. You've never come to that place where you've said, I'm done. I'm going to stop living for myself and I'm ready to live for you. That was one of the most powerful prayers that I prayed. I was 19 years old. I'd been backslidden for a while. When I came back to the Lord, I finally said to him, you know what, Lord, I'm done. No longer what I want, but whatever you want. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I'm ready to live for you. Maybe you're at that place today. Maybe you've lived your life for yourself and you now realize the futility of that. Even if you spend your entire life for your own desires, your own needs, your own goals, what good are they in the end? When you leave this earth, even if you live to be 80 or 90 years old, what good are all those years if they are lived for you and for your own indulgences? So you had times that were good, or you had times that were full of pleasure, whatever it might be, but then they are gone and you face eternity. But if you live your life for Him, if you say, I want to be consumed for you, the Bible tells us, Romans chapter 12, that we are to be living sacrifices, meaning that God can use our lives as a sacrifice. That as our lives are consumed, they're consumed one way or another. They're either consumed on your own desires, your own lusts, your own pleasures, or they are consumed by God. And for the Christian, for the believer, whose life is consumed by Him, the smoke of our sacrifice is a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And if you're here today and you say, I want to live for Him. I want my life to count. I want to surrender myself to Him. I want my sins forgiven. Maybe your life has been devastated by your sin. Maybe Satan has been lying to you. Your sin's not so bad. It's not that bad until you consider today the cross, the price that it took in order to have your sins forgiven. If you're here today, you want your sins forgiven. You want to give your life to Him and begin to live for Him. Who knows where God will take you? Who knows what purpose or plan God has for you? I know this, God has a race for you to run. And if you're here today, you want to invite Christ into your life, you want to begin to live for Him, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up now. Lift your hand up high so I can see it. I want to acknowledge it. God bless you, sir. Right here, down here in the front to my right. And God bless you, sir, under the balcony, all the way over to the right. Right here in the middle. Young man, that's great. It's awesome. Anyone else? Just lift your hand up now. Again, lift your hand up high so I can see it. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. And today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Just raise up your hand now. You're saying, I'm done living for myself and I need my sins forgiven. And I want you to know this. God's a God of fresh starts. There's none of you that have sinned in such a bad way that Jesus can't forgive you. That's what the cross was all about. And there's none of you here that are so good that you don't need Him. God bless you. In the back, that's great. Anyone else? All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from You. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite You into my life. And I turn from my sin that I can live for You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you. And His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.